Good afternoon, and welcome to the Health Connectors Response to COVID-19 and Customer Service Update. Thank you for joining us today. Our presenters today are Nikki Conti and Sarah Bonafani from the Health Connector. Now, I just want to turn everybody to the MTF website. The Health Connector presentation was updated yesterday morning, and it was put out on the MTF website at www.masshealthmtf.org. If you go to the Meeting Information tab, then Meeting Presentations, April 2020 Meeting Materials, you will see the presentation is listed there. The presenters will walk you through the presentation and tell you what slides they are on to make it easier to follow. Now I would like to turn it over to the Health Connector.
Thank you everyone for joining us again for today's MTF virtual meeting. As Sue mentioned, we're going to go through the Health Connector presentation and talk to all of you about our response to COVID-19. And in addition to that, we want to give you some additional updates on our customer service upcoming transition. So moving on to slide two, I just want to go through some of the details that will be in our agenda today. So we're going to provide an operations update, request for information, update on the special enrollment period for COVID-19. We'll talk a bit about helping those newly unemployed and uninsured. We'll step through some reminders to report income changes and some new flexibility, and then also spend some time on hardship waivers and appeals. And then lastly, at the end, when we move on from the COVID-19 related updates, we'll spend some time looking at the Health Connector customer experience transition. So now I'm ready to move on to slide three and go into some more details related to the Health Connector's response to COVID-19. So we just want to start off by letting everyone know or reminding folks that we've made some operational changes to support public health during this time. However, our Health Connector call center has been able to maintain regular business hours, though wait times might be a little bit longer than usual. Also wanted to remind everybody that the Health Connector walk-in centers are closed, and once we feel that they're better, you know, they're able to reopen in a safe way, we will certainly let all of you know. In terms of submitting documents, the receipt and processing of Health Connector-owned documents, such as identity proofing and requests for information, are still being handled within 2 business days from date of receipt. So just a reminder that people still have alternate ways to get documents to us. They can still use mail, fax, as well as document upload. So going on to slide five, just want to think about kind of where we are in the month. Right now we're at the 29th. So anyone who has needed to make a payment for May 1, again, we just want to remind you and encourage members to use online payment. If they needed to submit documents, they could use document upload whenever they needed to get anything to us right away. In terms of payments, those are still being, can still be sent via mail or, as I said, submitted online. But again, note that we've missed the 23rd deadline for May 1 coverage. If you are working with anyone during this time and they need more instruction on how to make a payment or they're looking for our mailing address, we've provided you the link here, which is mahealthconnector.org/how-to-pay. And then in terms of submitting documents, I've mentioned document upload a few times, but just a reminder that individuals can do that on their own, or you as an assister can help through the assister portal. They can also fax documents to the Health Insurance Processing Center or mail documents to the Health Insurance Processing Center. If you are looking for all of those phone numbers, addresses, et cetera, just want to remind all assisters that in the learning management system, there is a job aid under, I believe it's under resources, under assister job aids and resources, and it's called where to send documents. So that is available, and you can definitely take a look at that to make sure you're sending items to the correct place. So going on to slide 6, I just wanted to talk a moment about requests for information. So just know that folks may still receive an RFI when they apply, they renew their application, or report a change. However, during the COVID-19 emergency, both MassHealth and the Health Connector are not going to terminate or decrease someone's coverage based on their response to failure to respond to an RFI. However, we're still encouraging people to get their proofs into MassHealth or to the Health Connector as soon as they can, because once this emergency is lifted, those consumers will be responsible for, you know, having submitted that information to us. So we will be looking for that information. So if you have someone working with someone and you can submit those documents now, please do that. Going on to slide 7, I just want to talk a little bit about the COVID-19 special enrollment period. So we had initially announced a special enrollment period to help anybody who was uninsured get access to health insurance coverage. The first deadline was April 25th, and then we were very happy to report that we've extended this to May 25th. So again, this is available so that anyone who needs coverage at this time can apply and get into coverage. In addition to the Health Connector's special enrollment period, just want to also share the Division of Insurance has extended a similar FEP off the exchange or outside of the state's marketplace. So that might be helpful for any individual who may not be eligible to shop through mahealthconnector.org, and that would allow someone to go directly to a carrier. So on the right side of slide 7, you just see a chart that shows some enrollment deadlines. As you can see, for coverage starting May 1, we would have needed enrollment by April 23rd. Respectively, June 1, the enrollment deadline is May 23rd. And then, of course, if people can shop for July 1 coverage, and that enrollment deadline will be May 25th. So just a few more, going on to slide 8, a few more reminders about the special enrollment process. Applications can be submitted online or over the phone. And some people you're working with will get an automatic SEP. So, for example, those who are newly eligible for Connector Care. If you help somebody and you don't see an automatic SEP, meaning once you get to the end of the application, they're not able to shop for a plan and enroll into coverage right away, we're encouraging members to contact Health Connector Customer Service to request that special enrollment period and indicate that it's due to COVID-19. Also want to acknowledge that this enrollment is available for anyone who is determined newly eligible or for those people that had been previously determined eligible for any Health Connector plan, but for whatever reason didn't take advantage of their enrollment opportunity. Again, this enrollment window is open through May 25th, and unless the person has a different qualifying event, that opens another enrollment window for 60 days. So Sarah will be talking a little bit about those folks who may just recently have lost health insurance coverage. So with that, I'm going to segue right over to Sarah Bonapane, who's going to pick up on slide 9.
Thanks, Nikki, and good afternoon, everyone. Thanks again for joining today's call. So I am starting on slide 9 and just want to provide a little bit of additional information about helping consumers who are newly unemployed. So we do understand and know there are many individuals who are unemployed as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, and want to take the opportunity to remind all of you, many of you know, that the Health Connector plans are an alternative or provide an alternative option to a COBRA plan that individuals might have available. So, you know, many people who apply through the Health Connector can receive a lower monthly premium through tax credits, and some even receive, you know, a $0 monthly payment. Now, when you're working with someone who's recently lost their health insurance through a job, they have to apply within 60 days of losing that coverage to be eligible to get Health Connector coverage as the alternative plan. You know, as Nikki said, Our SEP has been extended to May 25th, but individuals do have 60 days to act after they lose their coverage. So right now they are protected within the SEP, but if they come back after May 25th and they're still within 60 days of losing their coverage through a job, they can still come in and shop and enroll through the Health Connector. And that's because losing employer-sponsored coverage is a qualifying life event, and that opens that special enrollment period for someone. And as you all know, the sooner they apply, the sooner their new health insurance can start, although we have missed May 1 start dates, as Nikki also mentioned. So moving on to slide 10, we just want to let everyone know that we are doing outreach and education to those who need help understanding their coverage options or deciding between COBRA and Health Connector coverage. We have resources available on our website, including FAQs about this in multiple languages. So if you just refer to your slides, we have them linked here. You can click on those and look through them with some images below the site. But these are great resources. If somebody is asking you for more information or has questions, you can, of course, talk to them, but also, you know, refresh your memory or point them to this tool that they can read through on their own to decide what might be best for them or their family. So now moving on to slide 11, we want to remind everyone who is experiencing any change in their income or job situation to report those changes to the Health Connector to ensure that they're in the most affordable coverage available to them. So some key messages that we have been promoting include, you know, that members making any less money than usual or expected might be able to qualify for lower cost health insurance or a lower cost plan. The way in which to do this would be to enter the member's income as it is right now and then to adjust their expected yearly income as, you know, to what they think they may make over the course of the year. We understand that's difficult right now. There are a lot of unknowns right now. But as you always do, you know, help them to project the best they can. And always come back, you know, and they can come back as many times as possible to update that. Members should also just keep in mind or think about how any changes might impact their continuity of care. For example, if somebody moves from an unsubsidized or APTC-only plan into Connector Care or from Connector Care into MassHealth, that might impact the providers that are available to them based on the plan or potentially an ACO that they might select. So they'll just want to think about those changes and, you know, think carefully about how they want to proceed and what they might want to choose. So now moving on to slide 12, we do have some additional flexibility that we've been able to put into place for members who report changes through the last day of a month in order to have those changes be effective for them the first day of the following month. So originally, this flexibility was put in place for April 1 coverage, and we've extended it to May coverage. So far, it's just extended for May 1 coverage and not beyond that point. So this is really only in place for today and tomorrow, unless we communicate otherwise. But I still think helpful to know, just in case you have someone today or tomorrow in this situation. So essentially, if somebody is, say, in a Connector Care Plan 3B, and they come in and report a lower income today, that would make them eligible for a $0, a Connector Care, you know, plan type 1 plan, a $0 plan, potentially. They could make that change today, the 29th, and have it be effective May 1st. Whereas previously, you'd recall that that change would have had to be in by the 23rd of the month in order for it to be effective. So we've basically given a little bit of a grace period from the 23rd to the end of the month, a little bit of extra time for people to make changes that could lower their premium for the following month. There are some restrictions to this. That was only for those currently enrolled Health Connector members whose eligibility is going to move them into a lower cost plan type. If they're not already enrolled, then they can't make a change today that would be effective May 1st. So if they made a change or applied on the 20th and they have different circumstances today, unfortunately, we would have to go with on what they provided to us earlier in the month. So have to be already enrolled for at least a month or longer. Also want to note that the flexibility is not available for somebody moving from an unsub QHP into a connector care plan with a different carrier. So if you're moving into a different carrier plan, say, for example, you have Harvard Pilgrim who doesn't participate in the connector care plan program, and then, of course, they would need to move into a connector care plan for the following month because their current plan is not an option for them, they'd be unable to take advantage of that. So on slide 13, you'll just see it's sort of broken down into more scenarios where you can see, you know, an unsub member moving to APTCs would be able to do this after the 23rd to be effective May 1. Connector care member moving into a lower plan type would be able to do this effective for 5-1. A member that is not, someone who is not yet a member, right, who has not effectuated or what we would call paid for their first month premium, not able to do this. So they would not see any change now until the 1st of June. And then somebody who's getting APTCs only reports a decrease that moves them into connector care, but again, needs to select a different carrier. What is potential for them actually is additional advanced premium tax credit or APTC. So that would help to lower the premium for them, but again, that change in carrier could not happen until June 1 at this point. And moving on, you know, to slide 14, again, this is just another example of what we have talked through. For example, you have a member enrolled in a bronze plan. They report a change that makes them eligible for connector care, but they would need to select a different carrier. They would get a new amount of more generous or higher APTC applied to their bronze plan for May, but would have to wait to have that connector care plan in place until June 1st. So there's definitely a benefit if you have somebody in this situation. They would have a lower premium for the month, but not the full benefits of connector care until June. So at this point, I am going to hand this over to Nikki to talk through some additional information about income.
Thanks so much. And everyone, I'm on the chart on slide 15. So we just wanted to acknowledge that as you're helping people right now, you're probably fielding some questions, or you may be fielding questions about new types of income that have been available since the federal government's been responding to COVID-19. So some things you might be seeing or hearing about is the unemployment extension for up to 39 weeks of benefits, or you may be hearing or thinking about the $600 unemployment bump that people are getting. And lastly, the one-time recovery rebate or stimulus payment that people, I believe, have already gotten. So when fielding questions or helping somebody in the application, we just wanted to go through what should be included in current income and then what needs to be included in the projected annual income. So as usual, we just wanted to confirm that a regular unemployment should be reported as long as it's received. And then when you're thinking about the projected annual income, just make your best prediction about the person's yearly income, taking into consideration, of course, how long they might expect to receive unemployment. Then when you're moving to the $600 unemployment bump, don't include this amount in the current income in the unemployment benefits, but do add the $600 per week when reporting expected yearly income. So someone on unemployment from early April through July 31 could end up earning an additional $10,000 from this bump, so we just want to be mindful of that. And then in terms of that one-time recovery rebate or stimulus payment, you don't need to include that in either the current or the projected annual income. So going on to slide 16, I just want to talk about how MassHealth and the Health Connector count this a little bit differently in order to make a program determination. And you'll notice here that we have some tips for you. So just folks should enter their card income as it is right now without the $600 in the additional unemployment income. And then they can adjust their expected yearly income based on what they think they'll make over the course of the year. When entering the yearly income, you really want to think about how much someone has earned so far, add any unemployment, include the extra $600, and include what they think they might be earned if and when they return to work later this year. So when talking to people who have been, you know, doing this for the last week or so, we just want to be really careful to only add those $600 per week for those weeks that the consumer thinks they'll be collecting unemployment. So there is a limit to how long somebody can collect unemployment. So just keep in mind when you're calculating the projected income, someone's projected income for the whole year, they won't be seeing that $600 for the remainder. They may not see that $600 for the remainder of this year. I have to do my math a little bit to see exactly what week of the year we're in, but just keep that in mind. As Sarah mentioned, definitely we keep recommending that people come in, report changes. They can come in more than once. So if something does change, please just keep helping them update their current information. Update their income information so it's as accurate as possible. And then another thing to keep in mind, for those people who get advanced premium tax credits, they can always adjust the amount they take by using the slider on the eligibility page. So these are just some ways that folks who are determined eligible for connector care or health connector plans with APTCs can reduce some of their, can reduce unexpected financial responsibility when they go and file and reconcile their advanced premium tax credits the following tax year. So on slide 17, I just want to point out we have a sample image of a a statement from Division of Unemployment Assistance. So if you look here, I think this is, you probably can make this a little larger as well. In the bottom middle section, you can see a column that says additions, and you're able to see the $600 that they're receiving as part of federal pandemic unemployment compensation. Let's go on to slide 18. I'm just going to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about the Health Connector Hardship Waiver and Appeal. So I do want to mention that we have an existing premium hardship waiver process for Connector Care members. So if someone is in a difficult situation right now, and they'd like to apply for a hardship waiver, we'd recommend a couple of things. One, review the policy, and the link is included here, just to see if any of the criteria apply to them. And they can do one of many things. They can contact Health Connector Customer Service to request a hardship waiver form. There will also be information. The Health Connector team has worked to create an online web page where someone can download this hardship waiver form, and it's available in English and Spanish. And once they get that form, complete it, all they need to do is either fax it back over to us, mail it to us, and they also have the option to use document upload to submit that to us so that can be reviewed and processed. Also, I wanted just to give you a little update on our appeals program. So if anybody does, in fact, need to file an appeal, they can still do so during this time through the website, the online application. They can log into their account, and they can file their appeal there. Before doing that, we've heard anecdotally from our appeals department that they've seen a number of cases where all someone needed to do was just make updates to their application and the appeal wasn't necessary. So just want to mention that to all of you who might be advising members. It's always best at this point to start with reporting any changes in the application and see first where they land. Right now, our appeals team is still retrieving mail from the post office. But again, just want to be mindful of that if something changes in the future, which would not give them access to the mailed appeal request. So if you are working with someone who's going to file an appeal and doesn't have access to their online account, You can direct them to the Health Connectors customer service team, and they'll be able to help them in completing that form. So with that, I want us to turn to slide 19 and just switch gears a little bit, and I'll take you through the first scenario, and then I'll hand this over to Sarah to take you through the second scenario, because we just want to be sure that, you know, we know we're giving you a lot of information. We just want to be sure that this is making sense to you from a real-world perspective. So going on to slide 20, we are looking at a scenario where there's an uninsured individual who might contact you about enrolling into coverage right now. Apparently, this person completed an application during open enrollment, but forgot to select a plan and pay the premium, and they've been without health insurance. They want to know what to do now, and we want to just provide you with some reminders about how to advise them. So if you go on to slide 21, we just want to reinforce that you can tell the person that they can still enroll into coverage until May 25th through the Health Connector's special enrollment period due to COVID-19. Since the person has an existing application, you can advise them to update any information that might have changed since they last applied. And if the ability to shop for a plan is not immediately available to them in their application, you could advise them to call the Health Connectors customer service to request access to enroll based on COVID-19. So, Sarah, do you want to pick up on slide 22?
Yes. So now we'll move on to another scenario again on slide 22. In this scenario, we're saying a Connector Care member, in this case, contacted you on April 25th, or let's just say contact you this afternoon. And unless you know they're now unemployed after being laid off from a restaurant position, although they're continuing to do some food deliveries, so they have some income. They can no longer afford their monthly premium, though. So just think about, you know, what you could do for this individual. So on slide 23, we're recommending that the individual report the change to their income immediately, either on their own or through you if you are a certified assister. This change might move them into a different Connector Care plan with a lower premium or potentially into MassHealth. And although it's after the 23rd, the individual can still qualify for a lower premium for the month of May. Again, because they're already an enrolled Connector Care member, you could take advantage of that to move for May 1st. And just want to note, if they've already paid that higher premium, they'll receive a premium credit for a future month. So if they paid for May and it was more than they would need to because they moved into a lower plan type, they'd get a credit. Moving plan type is an SEP, gives them 60 days to choose a new plan if they want to do so. However, that would not happen for May 1st. And then just advise them about any potential network changes if they're going to move into a different plan or they become eligible for MassHealth. So now if you move to slide 24, we are moving to a completely different topic to close out the presentation, which is, as Nikki mentioned in the beginning, about our customer experience transition. So on slide 25, we're providing some background about the fact that the Health Connector is preparing to transition to new customer service vendors for some of our operations support that include a new member portal, including our billing and notice viewing, our call center and walk-in centers, and our mail center that processes certain Health Connector documents. Just as some additional background for everyone, the Health Connector uses third-party vendors, and we have contracts with those vendors. Those contracts were set to expire in June of 2020 this year, and so really for a long time, the Health Connector has been preparing for this. We opened a competitive procurement process for these functional operational areas, and we have awarded some new vendors. So we are transitioning from our current call center vendors and other vendors in these functions to new ones. But because, you know, we're moving to new vendors, we do expect that, and the goals are to maintain operational stability in all of our key areas, and then, of course, to improve our customer experience to better meet our members' expectations when they're working with us. So in terms of the timeline, The transition for our member portal and our call center and walk-in centers is planned for early July of 2020. And our mailroom transition is going to take place on May 18th of 2020. So in just a couple of weeks, we'll be transitioning that mailroom. In terms of, you know, what you can expect and what we would expect members to notice, they're going to really experience most of the changes within the member portal. And that's because that member portal is going to look completely different. So we have a new vendor, Sofdion, and with them, we have developed a new website user interface, so a completely new-looking website than the current member portal. There will be some member self-serving options for certain requests like refunds and reinstatements that don't exist today, so those would have to be phone calls today and in the future. They can be done, the member can request them on their own through the portal. There's going to be additional recurring payment options to help give members more options for how they would like their payments to be drawn, which will help prevent some issues that we have heard about where members sign up for automatic or recurring payments, lose their subsidies, and then have big bills drawn out. There'll be additional options for them to choose from to help avoid that. And then we're also going to be rolling out a new member invoice or a bill. The Health Connector, we're going to keep the MTF and Assist Your audiences very closely updated and apprised of these changes and important cutover dates as they approach. And so if you move to slide 27, you'll note that, of course, the mailroom transition is happening May 18th. We just want to note our new mailing address. We've put it here on the slide. It is a P.O. box in Taunton. You'll notice it's very close to the MassHealth mailing address, but it is a different P.O. box with a different queue line at the top. It's the Health Connectors Processing Center. They're very close together because we are working with MassHealth to assist us in processing our documents. But do want to note that they are different addresses. So the verifications that you would send to the new mailing address would include all new paper applications for unsubsidized or no financial assistance requested, paying for any health or dental coverage through the Health Connector, any qualifying event verifications for special enrollment periods or closed enrollment for Health Connector plans, and any identity proofing verifications would also be sent there. So moving on to slide 28. We want to really emphasize not to use the new mailing address prior to May 18th. If you have something to mail on May 17th, mail it to the current address, which is the 133 Portland Street in Boston. Only start mailing to this new address on May 18th. If the mail is received at Portland Street after May 18th, it will be routed appropriately for processing without delay. We have new resources that will be available for MTF and Assist Your audiences. There's going to be a new FAFSA cover sheet. So again, we will send that around and make it available. And the learning management is going to have updated job aid about where to send documents along with the new FAFSA cover sheet. So now I want to move on to slide 29 and move back to the member portal. And here you'll note just an example of what this new member portal is going to look like for members who are logged in. So if you use the member portal today or have logged in, you'll note it does look very different. There's an account overview. There's some different looking dashboards and menu display options. I just want to note this is still under development and could potentially change, but we just wanted to give you a sense of what it will look like for members and for you if you use the Assist Your portal to help them. All right, so that concludes our presentation.
So I want to thank everyone for joining us today, and Sarah, Nikki, and Kara for being on the line. And we hope you stay safe, be well, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.